Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. It is Election Day 2025, 11 and a half minutes past the hour. Good to have you with us on Election Day. Do want to remind everybody, do a little bit of housekeeping here, that tonight we will have live election coverage starting at 7:15 p.m. on this station. Don't miss that for love nor money. We'll have call-ins, we'll have people in the studio, we'll have people stationed all throughout the town, and we will not break away starting at 7:15 p.m. tonight on this station. Now, also want to remind people, the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar at 455 Lee Street is this coming Saturday, November the 8th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., a large selection of baked goods, homemade candies, popcorn balls, decorations, gifts, crafts, and miscellaneous items will be for sale. The lunch menu is shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soup, desserts, and beverages. Come and enjoy the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar, 455 Lee Street, this Saturday, November the 8th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Now, a few things here before we get into Election Day conversation. Yesterday, one of our callers asked, because I was coming to the station yesterday, and they had the road blocked off on Route 95 to take down the sign that is right across from the old Marion Catholic High School. I can't think of what it's called. It's an academy now. But it hangs across the road, it hangs across Mount Vernon Avenue, and it said early voting, and they were taking that down because early voting ended on Sunday. And they asked me to check this morning to see what the new sign said, and I can report as of probably 45 minutes ago that there is nothing there. No sign hanging there right now. The sign has not been replaced. So no sign there, but when a sign appears, I will let you know. Also, the road is still blocked off. Or it's down to one lane, one or two lanes. I think it's down to two lanes. And I think, as I was just listening to Adam's weather report, our news report, I should say, I guess they're doing some work on the road, maybe some water line repair. But I guess they did it at the same time that they were taking down the sign. So there you have it. I guess that's what's going on there. Even though the sign is down, the road is still blocked off this morning, except for two lanes of traffic. Now, saying all of that, I can say that I came in early this morning, because if you listened yesterday, I said I had not taken down the Halloween decorations. Well, I came in extra early this morning to tell you how compulsive I am, and I did take down the Halloween decorations. Now, I'm keeping the mummy in the studio because the mummy still has air, and he just came in here yesterday after Halloween. So we're not sure what we're going to name the mummy yet, but he'll be with us during election coverage tonight. Hey, what station is going to have a mummy in the studio during election coverage? 5-foot mummy. But here's the thing about our Halloween decorations, our Thanksgiving decorations. We don't have a whole lot of them. We have a pumpkin, we have a flower arrangement that is autumn-like, and then we have a basket, a hanging basket that says welcome with pumpkins and all kinds of reds and oranges and yellows in it. And then we have these streamers, these very colorful, translucent streamers that are hanging in front of our cityscape backdrop, if you've ever seen the studio. Now, here's the thing. I think I'm a little bit compulsive because the basket is hanging right in the middle, and we have four streamers to the left of the basket, and we have three streamers to the right of the basket. And now I think I'm compulsive because I don't like that we only have three streamers on one side and four streamers on the other. So I'm going to have to look in our autumn basket of decorations, our Thanksgiving decorations, and see if we have another streamer, or this will drive me insane as I have to stare at it every morning as I'm doing the show. You know, this Thanksgiving decoration thing came about a few years ago because I said, you know, we have so many decorations for Halloween, and they're up all the month of October, and then we have all these decorations for Christmas that we put up right after Thanksgiving, and they're up through the first of the year. So there's like a 20-something day period where we have no decorations for Thanksgiving. And Pastor Craig, who was with us at that time, this is probably 2020, 2021, went out and bought us all these Thanksgiving decorations. One morning I showed up at the studio and they were just sitting outside the door. No note on them, and it was just, hey, here's some Thanksgiving decorations. And I thought that was the nicest thing, and we still use them to this day. There aren't many. We don't have a turkey in the studio that we can, you know, hang up or put on the television program, but we got the flowers, we got the pumpkin, we've got the streamers, and we've got the basket with all of the autumn items in it. But I think at the break, I'm going to have to fix the streamers so that they equal out on each side. Maybe that's an obsessive-compulsive thing. Okay, so we covered that. No new sign on Mount Vernon Avenue. Thanksgiving decorations are up. Halloween decorations are down. Election coverage tonight. The mummy's in the studio. Okay, let's talk about the city council meeting last night. The last city council meeting before the election today. Now, here's the thing. Last night was a pretty easy council meeting. I think we were out of there after about an hour. It was a committee meeting night. But here's the thing. There was a conversation in the finance meeting, and I thought about this last night. This has been going on a while, and I'm going to try to explain this the best I can without being confusing, but it's a little bit confusing, so here it is. Jason Schauber, the third ward councilman, a while ago, emailed about seven different people, city council members, the auditor, the mayor, the budget director, a whole bunch of people. He also co-copied the media on this as well. And he was asking questions about the finances of Marion. Now, this is probably 2-3 months ago. And he said he never got an answer of all seven people from all seven people that he messaged. Now, this question came up last week during full council, and the budget director said that she sent the answer, because she didn't have an answer, to the law director. Now, the law director was not there last week. And so she didn't have an answer, so she just did not respond. Okay, so we get to last night, and Ayers Ratliff, who's in a member of the Finance Committee, asked the question, what is the policy for sending emails here? I've been on council a long time, and I've never had to send an email to the law director to get it approved before we sent it to somebody, let alone a sitting councilman. And the law director said, well, if it's not a public information request, you don't have to send it to me. So, the mayor stood up at one point and said there was really nothing that he could answer. He felt it was a question for the auditor, so he just didn't respond. The budget director didn't have any information, although I'm not sure why she sent it to the law director first, which she admitted the week before. So she didn't answer. The auditor did admit last night that she does have the email and she plans to answer it, but nobody from the Finance Committee answered, and I think they were all copied on this email. And then the answer to this, now, I swear to you, this was the answer from the Finance Committee, and it was Twyla Lang who gave this answer. She said, well, I bet you, it's a paraphrase, but I bet you're as frustrated as I am when I send emails to the auditor and the treasurer and I don't get answers. But Twyla, I believe, was copied on this email. So if you were really frustrated by not getting emails answered, when you got one, wouldn't you answer the email? I don't understand that. And I don't understand what the mayor's answer was last night as to why he didn't answer, except he felt the auditor should answer. Which, okay, but wouldn't that have been an answer? And the budget director, I still don't know why she's sending her emails through the law director to city council people that are not public information requests. We never got an answer to Jason's question last night, and I kept waiting for the answer. I was sitting there, and I thought, okay, this question has been asked about three times now. Somebody's going to have an answer. Now, what is the answer? The answer never came. And I'm not really sure why we don't get answers from things like that. I don't know. But I will say this, and Jason has obviously been on this show, and he's been very nice as far as his time and questioning, as far as the media goes, letting me question him. But I thought last night was one of Jason's finest moments. I thought that he got up there, he stood behind what he wanted to stand behind, and he did not let them off the hook. I think he got up two or three times in regard to this. And I thought that somebody is finally asking questions of this administration. Now, they did not answer. They just kind of went quiet. But he asked them, and you know, maybe the next 2 months before this all wraps up, people will begin to ask questions like that, and maybe we'll get some answers. And I also have to hand it to Ayers for bringing up the question, because he's the one who brought up the question to begin with. So that's how that all went down last night. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, we got an answer to that question last night. We must have been in different meetings.
Oh, what was the answer?
We got the answer that they answer all record requests, even when it's from a sitting councilman, as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And as soon as it comes across their desk, they answer them.
Right,
you,
but I guess...
You don't remember that part?
Well, I heard that part. Mm-hmm. But it's my understanding Jason's was not a public information request.
Well, no, and it's not a public information request when it comes from a city councilman, but even their bluster... See, I'm trying to be nice. It's early in the morning. Their bluster isn't true, because they kept referring to it as a records request, but even record requests go unanswered. So in my own experience, they don't answer record requests. They're not answering a city councilman is a completely different story.
But I want to give Mark Russell credit in this matter, because Mark did say, I don't believe that this was a records request, what Jason sent in.
Mm-hmm.
He said that.
It landed across his desk, and he never answered it.
Right, well, he said, I didn't take this as a records request, so I'm not sure why people are not answering this. And then it came back to the budget director and the mayor, and the mayor's...
Did Russell ever respond and say, I told Troiano to go ahead and send the information?
Well, no, but I think his stance was, I'm not even sure why it came to me to begin with.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't you respond back and say, thanks for the update, make sure you send this to Shaver?
Well, what was the answer, though? I mean, what was his answer?
There wasn't an answer to that.
No, but I mean,
Russell never answered. So Chelsea ran it past Russell, and it just went to Russell's desk to die, I guess. And then Chelsea's answer was, I don't have an answer. So she ran that past Russell, and it went to Russell to not...
Yeah, but here's I guess, the thing. And Ayers and Jason were trying last night, very gingerly, though, on Ayers' behalf. Jason was a little more forceful, although it did not get rough last night. But I guess I don't understand. You know, the treasurer, Tommy Reese, we have heard over and over from the Finance Committee, does not answer questions. And this is a bad thing to do. Well, what in the world did the mayor and the budget director do last night?
Well, I mean, you saw it.
Right,
now,
they didn't answer.
I will say this. I will give credit to Bill Collins that he has never refused a record request from me. Now, I have not asked him for many, maybe three or four.
Right, but this wasn't a records request.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, that even as a member... excuse me, of the public, he didn't deny me information. Now we know that he's, since December 9th, hey, now that's a little point right there, their December 10th meeting, where the mayor and Twyla Lang were caught on audio saying how they needed to cut Shaver out of the loop, and then Twyla tried to say that was a conversation that didn't happen.
Right, but here's what I just want to get back to the original question, because that's what I kept waiting for the answer for last night. It was not a records request. Mark Russell didn't think it was a records request. It came from a sitting councilman. Jason stated the ORCs that said that the mayor has to answer these questions from a sitting councilman. What was the answer?
There was no answer, and here would be one of my suggestions. And again, I know this was not necessarily a record request, but the fact that Troiano thought that it was, I would suggest that it's a free training, and I would suggest that everyone that hasn't taken it up there takes it. It's offered by Attorney General Dave Yost. It has to do with sunshine laws, which are record laws, etc. But again, I mean, it would be different from another member of government, an elected official. Elected officials should have access to information whenever they want it. But as far as it goes, she said, I didn't think I had anything that would fulfill that request. Okay, that is actually an option to send someone to say, I don't have any information.
And Mark Russell said that. He said last night.
That's an acceptable answer. It's a legally acceptable answer. That there is no I don't possess the information to help you with this, basically.
Well, here's why I always make the differentiation, and people might not like this, between a council person and somebody getting up to speak. Now, I think everybody should have access to information. But,
oh, no, that doesn't bother me. They're governing.
Right,
the
but so...
to represent us. They should get that information ASAP.
Right, which is why last night I could not figure out why, when a sitting councilman asks the question of seven different people, members of the finance committee, the mayor, the budget director, the auditor, that he doesn't get one response, and their answers are what? I guess I don't get it. Bill Collins admitted he just didn't respond because he thought the auditor was going to get it, although he didn't talk to the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
He thought, the budget director said the week before that she thought it was protocol to go through the law director for public information requests, so apparently she doesn't know what a public information...
No, see, that's not true, because she has answered public information requests from me when she was working in the auditor's office. Now, sometimes it might take me 2 or 3 weeks or asking her a few times, but she did respond to records requests
right, but
from
doesn't
me
she...
directly. They did not get ran through Mark
right.
Russell.
But doesn't she know that when it comes from a council person, it's not a public information request? What was the public information he was requesting?
Well, I mean, it would be public information, but I think he wanted to know what fund balances were,
right.
Didn't he? Or, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was financial information, obviously. It had to do with spending, et cetera.
Well, and the mayor admitted last night he doesn't have that information.
Well,
because he said...
Okay, so here's the thing, all right? This is where they can get technical. Is if you created the information, you are technically the holder of the information. If I know about the information, I'm supposed to pass it along to you. Like, say, you created this email and you sent it to me. Now, I don't have to send it to you because I didn't create it. If I know about it, then yeah, I'm supposed to send it to you. But I can use the whole, well, I'm not the holder of this information, so you're going to need that, the person that originated it.
But as the ORCs that Jason stated were, the mayor is supposed to have access to all that information and
mm-hmm.
is supposed to know that information.
And
is supposed to give annual
yeah,
reports
quarterly.
To council.
I thought it was
yeah,
quarterly.
Which is what he was asking for. So why doesn't
yes.
the mayor have that information?
Or does he?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he said last night he didn't.
At least it's accessible somewhere. Well, if it's not accessible, then we've got worse problems than we think.
Well, here's the whole point.
It can be compiled. How's that?
Well, but here's the whole point. This last week, he read his letter about sending all our information to the auditor of the state, and there might be line items that are in the negative. Well, maybe that's because he doesn't know anything about the budget, and he doesn't have access to it.
You don't think the mayor has access to the budget?
I'm going by what he said last night. He said he thought that was a question for the auditor. He didn't have the information.
Yeah, see, even in this situation, even in the real world, if you sent an email to multiple people, they would at least respond and be like, I'm unaware, I don't know, you know, I would suggest that you ask such and such and not just ignore. So the fact that they just ignored, to me, it solidifies the fact that they're doing their best to cut him out of any information before he leaves at the end of the year. And they've only got a few more months to deal with him.
Yeah, but I don't understand why, when the treasurer does that, who they've only got a couple more months to deal with, that they berate the man and say, you know, you are the most difficult man. That wasn't the word that was used. What was the word that they used about, Ayers used about him? Most unapproachable?
Yeah.
Something
unapproachable.
Like, yeah, you're the most unapproachable man that I've ever had to deal with. Well, why don't they say that about the mayor when he doesn't give a straight answer? Why don't they say that about the budget director when she doesn't give a straight answer? I guess I don't understand that.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's time for a note.
No one said anything to Tacey either, because Tacey would get up there and would talk in circles at times, and you'd be like, okay, but that doesn't make any sense. And no one would press her on that.
Well, I mean, are they going to take a no-confidence vote next week in the mayor and the budget director, like we did with Tommy Reese when
not.
He didn't...
They didn't take the no-confidence vote. They didn't do that, did they? And Tommy Reese?
What was on the agenda.
Yeah, I mean, it got tabled, though, because I think everybody agreed it just looks malicious at this point. But no, they would never do that.
Okay, well, there you go. So if you wonder, so what, again, now, I wish somebody would have asked this last night. What does the budget director do if she does not have...
She's dumb.
Well, I've said this before.
I noticed that last night. I had never really noticed it before, every other word is a gum chew.
She can chew her gum. And, you know, Matt and I were even talking about that last night. She chews gum like nobody's business. Yeah, she does.
Yes,
she's very good
level.
At that. Very good. She's got no poker face when it comes to... Because last night was really...
When she's irritated, you can tell. When she has contempt for you, you can tell.
Well, because last night was the first time she really got pressed hard on anything when it came to the funds for the rec center. And... boy, her face was just giving away exactly what she thought about those questions. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. But what does she do? Because if the budget director doesn't have access to what Jason was asking for, then who... I mean, I understand the auditor, but why wouldn't the budget director?
They would, because the budget director was supposed to be the I don't want to say check and balance, but was supposed to be the... Since the auditor was such a colossal failure, and I hope she knows that I don't mean that personally, I'm using that in a hyperbole sense. If she's such an epic failure, then the budget director was supposed to be the solution to that entire problem. So in theory, all of our problems should be closer to fixed. We shouldn't be inching closer towards the cliff. We should be, you know, heading back in the correct direction, but that 2 years later, we're not.
Well, I guess I just wish I would have heard an answer, and then it just kind of, okay, well...
If I'd have thought about it, though, Troiana, like I said, had answered my record request when she was in the auditor's office. She knows how to answer a records request. Now she might not. So to me, that makes that even more suspect that she's sending responses to Russell instead of to Schauber.
Well, but then...
She knows how to answer one.
With the questions unanswered, then the meeting was closed. Okay. I guess I don't understand why the question was never answered.
Because it doesn't have to be.
Well, see, when somebody else does that, though, they're yelled at. There's huffing and puffing, and there's no confidence votes. And this is why I said the finance committee is a lot of personality and not much... A check and a balance, I don't
what
know.
I was going to say, we can't call them a check and a balance, otherwise we wouldn't be going into fiscal distress. That's the only word I can use right now, because we don't know where we're going to land in there.
Well, why would they...
If they had been doing their due diligence and saying, okay, no, we're not going to pass this. No, we're not going to apply for that grant, because we don't know if we have the match or not. no, we're not going to do, we're not going to spend any more money. Remember when Twilight came in and there was a budget, right, like right now, somebody should be proposing a budget and hiring freeze. No more spending, no more hiring. It should stop. And I found out an interesting tidbit of information yesterday. I just didn't have a chance to bring it up last night. Our three directors that we've lost, the transit and parks and streets, and we were told that those positions aren't going to be replaced. Now, it is my understanding that the people that were the number twos, so that all we lost the number one in those jobs, those positions, it's my understanding that the number two people had already been have already been promoted to the number one position, and it's the number two position that we are no longer going to fill. So yes, those director positions have been filled. It's the vacancies that are being left from the people filling them that won't be filled. So it'd be like you getting bumped up a pay grade, and we're just not going to fill your lower pay grade job.
Well, I guess, why again? I mean, when people retire, they bring them to city council meetings, and they you know, have cake or they have some kind of party. Why did the parks director and the streets director not get that? They'd each been there more than 10 years.
More than 10? They had enough time to retire.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why that was... We've certainly got the news story on Julie Welch, and she'd only been there... She hadn't even been there 2 years. But why...
I guess you're right. It was about a little over a year.
So why did that not happen with these two men who had long-standing...
No news story?
Yeah. Nothing.
That abruptly decided to retire?
Well,
not even at the end of the year, because, I mean, or at the beginning of the year, because typically you retire at the beginning of the year so you can get all your vacation time. And either you vacation out or you get a big fat check for all your vacation time for the year. Usually. I mean, that's the way it's done.
They just both decided to retire at the same time in the last month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's rumor and speculation around that, so I'm not going to get into it in the event that it's not true. But, I was told that maybe, much like Miss Welch, they weren't given the option, or the option was to resign. So,
I don't know. There's
so it goes in Marion, Ohio. It's like it stands in the hourglass.
But I cannot understand why Twyla, who then spoke up and said, "Now you know what it's like not to get emails because I sent them to the auditor and the treasurer, and they haven't been answered." But wasn't she one of the people who got copied on this email?
Yes.
And she didn't respond.
She's notorious for not responding to emails.
So. You know, you couldn't make this stuff up.
No, I think, I mean, again, I'm just a private citizen, but I think she may have answered me twice. And one time it was, I still have all these, of course, and one time it just said, "I don't know what you're talking about." That was the response I got from her. That was it. And this, she's my actual counsel person. But, so yeah, they don't care who they don't give information to. The public, other council members, they don't care.
But again, now people might think this is some kind of a petty, "Oh, he doesn't respond to emails." Okay. But the information being requested was from a sitting council member, and it had to do with the finances of the city, of which
yes.
we found out weeks later were in serious trouble. So
yes.
why did you not get that information? Why wouldn't you follow up? I don't understand any
because
of that.
Because they don't want him to tell. They know that he would tell.
Okay, but... So they're just, your opinion is, they're just lying in open meetings, just lying, being as dishonest.
I believe that they are avoiding giving him information.
Well, but they gave and answers
I honestly
last
believe,
night.
Listen, I believe the auditor is up to her eyeballs in work and then some. I believe she is probably just treading water to stay alive. When she says that it's on her list of things to do, I believe that. But I also believe that getting payroll done is on higher up on her list of things to do. I believe that dealing with the state auditor, because they were here twice in the month of October, and they keep talking about this corrective action plan. Her office has had to put this together. I know there's been input from other people, but her office has had to do that. So she's had the state of Ohio. She's had payroll, because they're implementing a new payroll system for the people that don't know. And it's been screwed up, so she's had to go back and manually make sure that people were getting paid. I see there's another opening in her office again in the income tax department. So she's been going through staff like crazy. So I'm not making excuses for her, but I'm sure answering Jason Shaver's email might be a little further down on her list than the state auditor.
Well, it's election day.
But there are other people. Now listen, when Casey Courtright was refusing information about the transit, and I sent you that transit had ended in the red for 3 years in a row, Shaver said then, I sent emails to, and he named the people that he sent the emails to. And the next morning, Mark Russell was directing those people to send him those emails. So I don't know why that didn't happen in this situation.
Well, it's election day.
It's election day.
It's election day, and tonight we'll have our live coverage starting at 7:15. You always got to get your plug in. So tonight,
what time do you think it'll be over?
I was saying
9:30 or 10 last night.
Well, I was talking to somebody about this last night, and that should be about right, 9:30 or 10. But unfortunately, Mary intends to have the problem where the truck will get delayed or a vote will get stuck in a machine, and then it goes. It goes to like 11. But if everything goes as planned.
Nope. We're clean elections today. No issues. Everybody votes. No lines. Great weather. Sunshining. Take your IDs. Go vote, people.
Okay. So let's run down the three things here. We've got city council at large. How do you think that ends?
Rollins. Kreider. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think the third one's a toss-up. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you what. I spoke a little bit with Rollins last night. You know, Rollins is a smart guy. Rollins...
Very, very smart guy.
And he does communicate. And I think Rollins right now is just in the position of, you know, you do have to get reelected. And you do have to try to do your job the best you can. And I think he, more than anybody else, having to get reelected, has had to go along with a lot of things that I don't know if he's totally comfortable with.
Then I don't know if I really necessarily want that person representing me, because if you're willing to compromise what you truly believe in just to get elected, then you're probably not.
Well,
you're not my type of leader.
Well, listen, if Kreider doesn't get on, he's going to be the only one with any kind of knowledge of a long-term...
Oh, it's going to be a shit show. Oh, it's going to be just an absolute hot mess. You want to talk about long meetings. They're not going to know what they're doing at all.
So, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'll tell you, I'm not saying this to disparage Rollins, but with this low turnout, I'm not sure that he's a shoo-in. Because Dichtel, now, whether you like him or not, is considered an incumbent council person. And Danny Clark is a fairly popular person in the community, and that's a name that's very easy, and when people aren't that interested in local politics, I don't know. And because of the voter makeup I saw yesterday, which I read on the air, I gotta believe Kreider's becoming more and more of a shoo-in with all the Democrats who have voted for this at-large.
What was your makeup yesterday? Just out of curiosity.
Well, let me pull it up here again real quick. But,
I hadn't heard it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the
makeup... Now, I do want to say that Bill Dichtel has been incredibly kind to me for the last two council meetings, and he told me yesterday about some copies that I might need made, and he told me don't go out to Office Depot or anything like that he would help me get them made.
Well, Bill Dichtel, in my opinion, knows what's going on. Now, I can't talk about off-the-record conversations, but there's no doubt in my mind that Bill Dichtel does know what... I think he knows what's happening. I think he's very aware of what's happening up there. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
But
yeah, he's been off when he's not sitting at the table. And I'm not saying he's been horrible to me when he's as a councilman, but we've had some he's a very pleasant man. So I can't say anything about his character. He's a very kind man. So I may not agree with his early approach to governing, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to get better at it. So.
Yeah, and so, like I said, I think that being said, I think as time goes on, we'll learn. Early voting right now is 3,175, but that, again...
In Marion?
Yeah, but that's not Marion City. You got to understand that.
No,
that's
countywide.
That's
right.
The countywide, which is a very low number on the whole. Now, what I do want to get into, now here's the numbers I was talking about yesterday. Let's go to the sixth ward here, because I think this is very telling, and I saw
Mr. Where are you finding all of this? Because I haven't tried super hard, but I haven't found early voting by county.
Well, here, let me give you the information here. Let me go to the sixth, if the machine will work right, I'll go to the sixth ward. It did yesterday. Maybe it's not working right today. Okay, let's see here. Where is what I want? Okay. Okay, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm just putting you on the spot on the air is what it is.
Well, that's no problem.
You're not going to be able to find what it is that you're looking for. That's the reason why, though.
No. Well, give me a prediction for the sixth ward.
Well, you're saying that there was a heavy Democrat that early voting favors the Democrats, so... I don't know. I think Anthony has a chance. It's really just going to come down to turnout. And you know, there might be people that just skip over that race because they don't want either. Because I skipped over some races when I voted.
Oh, you skipped over a couple.
Yeah. If you don't need my vote, I'm not voting for you. I mean, there's, you know, if it might be that my vote can determine whether you win or lose, then I'll vote for you. But... yeah, I just skipped some races.
Well, I think some of the interesting stuff here that I have seen, and now for some reason, is this hanging up this morning? I don't know why it's hanging up this morning. But in any event, there's the number yesterday was something like 500 people in the sixth ward have voted. And I think that's a very interesting thing. And there are a good number of Democrats there, and there are also a good number of nonpartisan voters who have voted there. Like 200-something Republicans.
500, really? So more Democrats had shown up.
No. I forget what the Democrats... I think Democrats were in, like, the 100 range.
Okay.
Yeah, the nonpartisans, I think, were in the 100 range. I think that's what it was.
Okay, so like 300-ish between Democrats and nonpartisans and like 200-ish Republicans.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, that's interesting.
Which I think is...
because we're expecting the heaviest turnout from them, obviously.
Right. You would think that would have the heavy-duty turnout, which is what everybody had, I think, kind of thought. But only a little over 1,000 people had voted in the city. Early, which I think is interesting.
Telling.
Yeah.
I just don't think people really realize there's election, and I think people are election weary, man. They've been ongoing for how long now?
Ah, here we go. I got it. Well, maybe I got it. I thought I had it there. Hold on a second. I'm close to it now. But a lot of these numbers are very, very different from what I thought they would be. On the whole, well, let's go to Marion as a whole. Let's see if I can get that number up here. Because this will say something in regard to Charter City. Okay, let's get this pulled up here. Well,
I had an interesting text message from someone this morning. They were texting me that they had gone to vote early this morning before work. And they asked me who's this Welcome Collins person that has their name on for Charter City? I said, that's the mayor. They're like, what? I'm like, that's the mayor. That's his name.
Well, I always thought that might be a problem. Okay, what do you make of Charter City?
I think it goes down.
You think it'll go down? Now, why do you think it'll go down?
Because people don't have enough information, and it's too much of a change. They don't understand it enough to make this kind of change. Like, they might be interested in it. Might be something they might want to look into further, but not right now.
Okay, here we go. In Marion, early voting in the city, 1,374. Of those people, 571 Republicans, 336 Democrats, 467 nonpartisans. That's why I think Scott Kreider has got a guarantee to get in there.
So we've got about, 900 Democrats and nonpartisans?
Yeah.
That sound right?
Yeah. Somewhere close to that. And 571 Republicans. And also think about that with the Charter City.
Yeah.
And now when it comes... Yeah.
I think I tend to know where most Democrats are leaning on Charter City, but not all.
Now, the 6th Ward...
Those are the ones I affiliate with.
The 6th Ward, 585 people have voted early, 264 Republican, 147 Democrat, 174 nonpartisan.
Well, it's going to be an interesting evening. You said Matty Cakes is going to be at the Board of Elections?
He'll be at the Board of Elections. I think Linda and Terry will be in the studio that I'm aware of. Possibly some special guests like we did last time. And I'm sure we'll have some call-ins along the way. But, you know, again, my question is, why did Charter City not turn out a bigger vote? Because I was taught back in 2021, because we can't count 23 because we had abortion and marijuana on the ballot.
But this is what the people wanted, Scott.
Yeah, but back in
1,000 of us have turned out.
But back in 21, the last time we had a strictly local municipal election, I believe over 3,000 people turned out. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have 2,000 people turn out today to vote. So whether Charter City passes or fails, I don't know how you consider that a mandate.
Well, you know, this is what the masses have been clamoring for, and like I said, that's why all 1,000-ish of us have shown up to have our voices heard.
Do you think as many people are going to show up today that early voted? I tend to believe that there probably will. So 2,600 people, maybe, will vote?
2,600 people will determine the future of the city of Marion.
Well, okay, and as far as the Charter City...
Potentially, I guess I should say.
Well, if it does pass, it could pass. It could pass. There's mm-hmm. no doubt that it could pass. If it does pass, who should be on the list, who should not be on the list, commission-wise?
Okay, well, clearly...
Or who do you think will make the list, and who do you think will not make the list? Not.
I think I actually have a decent shot. There's been some people that have told me they voted for me, and I was surprised. And I had people hustling votes for me that I didn't know were hustling votes for me. I think the Collins thing, I didn't realize that would actually affect him.
Also nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan. So you're either just going to go in there and randomly poke names, or you're only going to poke a few names, or the names of the people that you know, or you're going to go in there and deliberately with a list. I've had more than one person ask me for the list that I made to go in and vote, and I've sent it to them. I've chosen off the beaten path people for my list. And I guess we'll just see how it plays out, because as far as the police thing goes, you're either going to be motivated, one way or another. The way they stacked it, either you're going to go say, yes, these are the people that I want to represent me, or you're going to deliberately get up and go say, no, these aren't the people I want to represent me. So that's going to be a love them or hate them thing. And then I know I've told plenty of people that don't like me, I'm like, well, then you should probably just vote no on the charter, because there's a good chance that I might be on the commission. So if you don't want me to be on the commission, then you should just vote no. And they're like, I'm going to.
Now,
so,
who do you think will absolutely not make the list?
Absolutely. I don't. Oh, goodness. Who don't? Okay, I don't think your people like Damien Shriver, which is Twyla Lang's grandson, I don't think he'll make it simply because no one knows who he is, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean, he's a 20-some-year-old guy that no one knows who he is, you know? Like, Sean Barr's daughter, unless people know her last name and know that's his daughter, people are going to not walk in there and know who she is and know who to vote for her. Unless there's some card that the Republican Party has passed around to get them to vote specifically for people. There's some name recognition on there that I think will help people.
Does name recognition hurt anybody? Like,
yes.
Oh, who?
Yes. Like Jay McDonald. He's a love him or hate him, you know?
Okay.
I mean, he's a polarizing figure, in my opinion. I don't think everyone loves him, and I don't think everyone hates him. Let's see. Like, I think Lois Fisher, I think she attracts, like, somebody asked me, well, why would her name be on there when she supports Republicans? I'm like, well, actually, if you get looking around, Lois kind of supports a little bit of everybody, and she's a savvy businesswoman, so I think she should definitely make the list. So I've convinced some people that are I wouldn't vote for a Republican if my life depended on it. Okay, well, in this situation, your city depends on it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of just some lesser-known people on there that might not make it because there's 24 people.
So who are the shoe-ins, I guess?
I don't know if there are any shoe-ins. I would say probably John Shank is a shoe-in, just because he's so well-known throughout the community and so non-controversial. He's well-known in a good way.
Let me just run down the list here real quick. We got 5 minutes. Let me just run down the list. I think I have the list here somewhere because we're kind of all over the place here. Here's the list. Okay, just give me a quick yay or nay. Allison Barr.
No.
Gail Block.
Possibly.
Ed Brown.
Possibly.
Terry Klein.
No. Love you, Terry. I voted for you.
Welcome Collins.
Who?
Well, yeah, I understand.
Possibly. If people can get over the name thing, yes.
Naomi Craig.
Of course.
Lois Fisher.
Yes.
BJ Gruber.
Yes.
Christina Johnson.
Yes. I voted for her, but I don't think she'll make it.
Robert Landon.
Please, God, no.
James Lloyd.
Possibly. I voted for him, but I don't even know who he is.
Brian Lovell.
Possibly.
Teresa Lubke.
Yes, I voted for her.
Jay McDonald.
No, but there's a possibility.
Juanita Russ Vanis.
Probably not.
Emily Russell.
Possibly.
Mark Russell.
Probably.
Jason Schauber.
Yes.
John Shank.
Yes.
Damian Shriver.
No.
Malcolm Smith.
Yes.
Kara Stevens.
Yes.
Tom Stotts.
Yes.
I think you got more than 15 there, I think, in your yes column, but there were some definite no's there.
Well, I picked a couple of extra names when I went in, people that I didn't know, just in case that I didn't have my 15 when I was done poking. Because I think I only really came up with about 12 names that I would pick, but I wanted to make sure that no one won by default.
So well, let me ask you this real quick. Who gets the most votes? I mean, you don't need the most votes, but on that list, when the dust settles, who's going to get the most votes?
I was going to say Collins, but I really think the name thing might hurt him. So I think probably Jay McDonald.
So you think he'll get the most votes in general?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I don't know, because I'm not
really
sure.
Who do you think?
Who do I think is going to get the most votes?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would tend to be somebody who's not controversial at all. And
not me.
Well, I'm trying to think of somebody.
BJ Gruber, I think he'll do pretty
but
well.
He could do very well.
And I legitimately picked him because I think he would be a good voice of reason on this.
I don't think Jason Schauber will do poorly.
I think Jason will do well, yes. Since
right.
Citywide, I think he'll do well.
I don't think Lois Fisher will do poorly.
No, I think she'll do well also.
So those would be the three that I would think would be at the top of the list. I mean, I think, I'm not sure
I
that...
I think Teresa Lubke will do well.
Yeah, but I'm not... When it comes to downright, outright name recognition, I just don't know that the mayor, because it's not listed as the mayor, and I don't know that the police chief truly have that kind of positive name recognition.
That's a valid point, because unless you are involved with the PD, you might not know who Jay McDonald is.
And he's never had to run for office.
Right.
And
you have a valid point there.
And Bill Collins is not listed as Bill Collins, and also he was a former police chief.
Right. And so he didn't, I mean, his first election he ran as Bill Collins.
Right. So don't know. I truly don't know.
That's some valid points, some thinking points. That'll make it interesting.
And I think there are going to be some divisive people on this list, and we're going to find out if they are divisive or not. I guess
I promise to get along with everyone, Scott.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking. I think they're divisive to the voter. I don't think you're divisive to the voter. And I think there are people.
I'm going to love me or hate me.
Well, no, but I think the people who are voting. People who have a divisive connotation, will those people be able to shake that divisive connotation tonight?
I guess we find out.
We'll find out. Well, thanks. We got to go to break. Thanks.
Bye, Scott.
All right, we'll be back after this.
It doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought, Mama, I wanted to end.